Welcome to another episode of That's Dicey. Today we're playing another game of Pathfinder, second edition. I am Andrew, your GM, and with us today we have two of our normal players and a special guest. So, starting with our normal cast, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Patrick. I'll be playing Huggins, Tengu Swashbuckler, Reformed Thief. Well, kind of. We'll see how that pans out.
I'm Steph. I'll be playing Kit Kat, a catfolk sorcerer. Reformed street rat. Again, we'll see how it goes. Gotta keep the theme going.
All right. And our guest for this episode, go ahead and introduce yourself and your character.
Found my own mute button. Hello, hi. I'm Dusty. I use they/he pronouns. And I am cast of like Goblets and Gays, another Pathfinder 2E show, in the Wavering Forest, another Pathfinder 2E show. I like Pathfinder 2E, which is why I'm here. And I'm playing Marigold. How much did you want me to introduce this character?
Ooh, secrets.
I think that might be good. I think that might be good. All right.
Yeah,
I
her name
think
is Marigold.
we can leave it at a name. All right. Now we're
Well, nice to meet
gonna
you.
Marigold is spelled like the word Mary and the word gold.
Gotcha.
All right. So we're gonna do that weird thing, in Google Maps where we take the little dude and you just drop him on a street. And as we're sort of plummeting from sky to street level view, we fall into a schoolhouse and a long necked bird is at the front of the this room that we're in, wiping stuff off the chalkboard. And as we slowly pan around the room, kind of looking around as if like, oh, we're here, what are we doing? We see on the desk the name tablet, and it says Ichabod Crane. And our long neck bird is a crane, in fact. And they're well dressed, nice suit. And they kind of lumber around the room picking up things that have been dropped all over the classroom, and they're just wrapping up, end of the day school stuff. And then there is a knock at the door, and as the door opens, what do Kit Kat and Huggins do as they enter the room of Ichabod Crane?
Oh, I
Kit
squawk, of
Kat's
course. Squawk of greeting.
squawk of greeting. Kit Kat's nose twitches, cat, bird.
You're not used to this by now?
Just another bird.
Hang out with a bird all the
This is the best cat TV.
time. And just Ichabod.
Yes. That is in fact my name. You must be Fabulous.
I'll nod sagely, say, it's good to meet you.
Yes. Greetings, indeed. Do you want to sit in the classroom, or did you? I can wrap up, and we can talk like outside on the road, into town. What did?
Whatever suits you, Mr. Crane.
Okay. Well, I'll finish in here, and then we can make our way to town because I think that'll be better. And he sort of like unfurls a big wing and does like a sweep over the classroom. And for some reason, my voice changed just then. Don't know what happened there. It was weird. I was talking and hearing myself at the same time. I was like, why is that different? Does a sweep motion over the classroom, and you have like all the desks start to shift back into place. Everything starts to like move itself around and fix itself. And he says, "Don't normally like to use magic and stuff, but Sometimes you don't have time. And he's like, we're all ready to go. And he grabs his bag, puts it over his shoulder, and heads out of the door. And you exit the schoolhouse, and it's a small, like single building, maybe has like 7 rooms schoolhouse. And you get outside and you're walking down the street, and there's a nice like river that runs along the side, and there's a bridge into town, and you're sort of walking down a path into town. And I don't know if anyone has seen the Disney version of Ichabod Crane's story. But if you have, there's this tune that's like in the background as he walks into town at the very beginning. And it's sort of like that. Sort of jolly tune going. The sun is up, everything's nice. You are walking, he says, yeah, well, I am a school teacher. I mostly hang out in town, but Eslin told me that I had some sort of, story that I'm meant to tell, and I don't know what that is. So yeah, I'm having a rough time being impressed upon that I have this, story to tell, but I don't know what the story is. And you get to the bridge, and there's like no clouds, no anything obscuring the sunlight, but it's dark here at the edge of the bridge.
God.
And you hear galloping on the other side,
I'm
and
uneasy.
Crane looks at you and says, do you hear that?
Say, is that not normal? Are we not expecting someone? I'm like looking around. Like, what's going on?
Okay. Well, people in town keep telling me all these ghost stories and spooky things, and I tend to believe them because, well, why would they make up all these stories?
Can I poke Ichabod? Is he a ghost? I'm just
You
gonna like not even like slyly, just like kind of scowl my
you're
finger
looking for the
just
M. Night Shyamalan.
very awkwardly, just poke him.
As you touch Ichabod, jumps into the air.
My tail twitches.
Why would you I already feel uncomfortable, but then you touched me.
I like step in. I'm like, please excuse Kit Kat. You were saying, Eslin said you had a story to tell. I'm just trying to smooth over it.
Yes,
But you aren't certain of what that story is.
yeah, that's
Surely, if
tough part.
Eslin brought us here, though, you must have quite the story for us to tell.
Well, that's what Eslin says, but I don't know. It's honestly a shame the God of Fables is so fickle about information. I like to know
Ah, but
things.
discovering the story is half the fun, my friend.
I suppose you're right. Anyway, across the
The
bridge we
real
go.
story is the friends we made along the way.
He starts trudging across the bridge, just going across the bridge. And you notice that it's not dark anymore. You're covered by like the shadow of this like overhang on top of the bridge. There's like a I don't know, some sort of like roofing over the top of it. But other than that, it's bright and sunny on the outside,
I
not
will
dark like it was when you were standing at the edge.
squawk as though like a particular squawk, as though to say, fuck this bridge in particular, as we step off of
Kit
it.
Kat raises her eyebrows. She knows that squawk.
Not fond of the bridge. Oh, okay.
Yeah, what was that about? Am I the only person? Am I taking crazy pills, or did you notice something on that bridge too?
Well, there's something about it. But that would be delving into superstitions, and try to avoid those and stick to the facts.
We're only a little stitious.
And as he says, stick to the facts, you then hear some people scurrying their way up from
What ho!
underneath the bridge. And they have like some weird like stuff with them. And yeah, they're just like kind of coming from underneath the bridge, and they run up the hill and laugh hysterically and run off into the distance.
Wait, okay, can I? Is there an insight roll that I can make to try and get a sense of who just scurried out from the
You could do just like a,
What's going
well,
on
you know
down
what?
there?
I'll just have you do a regular perception. Give me perception. I'll tell you what you learn.
16, 4 plus 12.
They look to be a group of three pug-looking people.
Listen, I'm just making sure it's not like a mage casting darkness on that bridge.
Well, I mean, you'd have to examine like each person individually more, which I suppose you could do as they run away. Do you
Okay,
want
I'm just
to?
eye I'm just eh, no, it's fine. I'm just eyeing anyone who's related to that bridge. I'm suspicious of
Yeah,
that
they are definitely suspicious, and you can make out that they're pug humanoids.
bridge. Hug?
Pugs. Yeah,
Okay, I misheard you.
there's three of them. They run off, and
Pugs are particularly magical. I'm extra suspicious.
and Ichabod says, "Those three are always playing tricks, doing stuff. I don't like them. That their leader, well, Brom, is the most annoying of all of them." And he seems genuinely like frazzled by seeing them. Like he's just super upset. And he says, "Anyway, my house is this way." And he leads you down to his house. And along the way, he says, "I think maybe I'm supposed to figure out something, supernatural or something. Maybe that's why I'm here, because everyone
What do
else
you think?
believes in the in all the superstitions and all the ghosts, and I don't
Okay.
believe, and maybe my skepticism can help. But that's just an idea of something that I could do here in this town."
I'm getting out like a little notepad. Looks like I'm taking very complicated notes. Looks like.
Looks like.
And I will say that it's an interesting theory. Tell me about the superstitions, if you would.
Well, there's one about ghosts, and that they're everywhere and they just pop up all over the place. And well, it always scares me. Something about a horse that gallops through town. I haven't really delved into that particular topic, but I have heard the galloping. And beyond that, it's just mostly more ghost stories. There was something about like Walking Dead, but who knows? That's a little strange, because every time I pass the graveyard, it looks perfectly intact. Not any dirt moved or changed. So I don't know how that would work.
Do we have any experience with undead? I mean,
I
like
don't.
we're level seven. Okay.
The hair starting to stand up on my back, getting a little poofy. I'm
Bottle brush
side-eyeing
tail.
Huggins, and yeah, tail's all bushy and
I'm like undead. I'm trying to like mask a growing fear. It's like that's totally fine. Like the dog in Burning House.
can see I'm getting like a little cagier, and I'm like looking around.
You
It's
said you were
like,
like side-eyeing me.
yeah.
You'll see on the notepad, it's just like chicken scratch and stick figures.
Yeah.
So as you all have that moment, the sun again is gone and it's dark,
Oh,
and
fun.
the lights turn on. All the lights on the city streets turn on, and Ichabod doesn't look frazzled by this at all and seems to feel like this is a normal occurrence, that the sun doesn't set, it just becomes dark randomly. And I think this is I think this is for a moment strange, but then the way Ichabod goes back to doing things and no one else around you that you can see walking around does anything like as a result of this, like it's a very normal thing that it seems like everyone thinks this is commonplace, but very clearly the sun just disappeared and it was dark. And you're outside of Ichabod Crane's house, and across from Ichabod Crane's house, you can see a house that is much larger than Ichabod Crane's house. In the window, there is a girl puppet, sort of more marionette, and they're kind of in the window looking out, and they wave to Ichabod. Ichabod waves back, and he says, "I love them. They're wonderful people, the Van Tassel family." And he says, "Anyway, come on in." And as he opens the door, the wind shuts the door, and you hear the galloping again, and you see.
Like we enter and the wind shuts it behind us, or
Oh no, it shuts the
he
door.
just can't open it.
You
Okay.
can't open the door. You're out on the street still.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it closes, and you hear the galloping again. And down the street, you see a horse and a rider without a head.
I look to Kit Kat and I whisper, "This is escalating very quickly."
And in the hand of this horseman without a head, you see a pumpkin with a crude face carved into it. It's less like a jack-o'-lantern and more like somebody like roughly carved the image of like a smiley face into a pumpkin. Yeah, he's just holding it by the stem, and the horse starts to move. And the horsemen atop seems like they're not in control of the horse, as if like the horse is just moving. And I'm gonna have you both make a perception check.
Okay. Nah, 31.
Nothing's getting by
31.
you. Oh, not great. 16. I rolled a 6.
What? A
Whatever it
31.
is,
All right.
I perceive it.
You can
Light just pours out of my face.
you can see that the horse is there and that the horseman doesn't appear to move like a horseman would. In fact, they move sort of like a stuffed thing would move. And with a 31, you can see behind the horse those three same pugs kind of hidden under like
Goddamn
a
pugs.
cloak, sort of edging the horse on and holding the pumpkin and the stuffed figure up on the horse.
So, but how did they do the door thing? Either way, now that I've noticed this, I'm a lot less worried about this strange appearance, and I'll just wave to them.
The one of the pugs underneath sort of like bumps another one. I think he knows that we're here.
Oh, is this like three pugs in a trench coat?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God.
And he like yeah like taps the other one, and they like move in a weird way with some sort of like sticks and make the horseman wave, and then they scurry and like drag the horse away, and they're just like running away with the horse trying to stay hidden. As Crane, unfortunately, rolled very poorly on perception and is very concerned that a headless horseman has just waved at him and ran away.
Do I notice his concern?
Yeah, you can visibly
Okay.
see the sort of feather ruffling going on.
I'll kind of point and be like, no, it's just the pugs, see?
Oh, them again. Jeez. Okay, there's a chat.
I'm starting to think you're the town ghosts might be these mischievous pugs, good sir.
Then is my story solving the mystery of hugs deceiving me? That would be a
It's like
boring story.
Scooby-Doo. It was old man Brom the whole time.
So yeah, you enter Crane's house, and Crane notices that a light is on and did not leave the light on, wondering what's going on, who could have been in his house. Sort of looking around, trying to see like the scene, figure out what's going on in here.
I'll sort of reluctant this town, man, this town. I will sort of reluctantly ask him, like, do you want me to go sneak in there and see what that's about?
Yes. I've never been given the opportunity to stay outside when something weird is happening in my home. I'll take it.
Kit Kat now is side-eyeing Ichabod, saying, "How often do weird things happen in your home?"
That is an interesting question that I would need, well, more time to count.
As he finishes saying that, and you look back to where I was, Huggins is just gone. I rolled a 28 still.
Oof.
What do I find at the source of this light, good sir?
What did you roll?
A 28.
Inside the home, there's the usual sort of furniture that would be in like the downstairs area, and the like end table lamp is on, and there are, sort of deeper, darker places in the house, and like this is the only light that's on. So from your look through of this like initial area, you don't see anything.
I will step back outside and say to Kit Kat, I think it's a wizard kind of thing. Do you have a spell for this?
Jeez. Man, look at my spells.
Do you have any CSI spells?
What CSI spells?
Right.
Do I wait, hang on. Do I have a nope?
I have dispel magic. Hold on, I might sneeze.
Don't do it. Sneezing is illegal.
Okay, I just had to mute myself for a sec. Okay. Let's see what I got.
Yeah, I have like absolutely nothing for investigating like a weird thing.
Investigating a weird thing.
I've got
Yeah.
nothing.
I mean,
I can deceive the light.
I could spider climb. I could climb on the ceiling.
Is there just like I don't
Maybe.
have the skill or anything if there is an investigation skill, but is there some like unmodified role I could do? Just kind of see, like, does it look like someone has broken in?
Yeah, could I also try and can I try and sneak in?
Sure.
'Cause I'm sneaky.
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'm gonna try and stealth my way in. Oh my God, it's a 17, but I rolled a 2. I have a plus 15 to stealth, and I couldn't even get in the 20s.
See, that's roles that I'm usually used to at my table.
This is pathetic.
There's an unnatural amount of buckets all over the floor, and you step in each one.
If I may, I have an idea for what happens.
Yeah.
I think as you are trying to sneak in, you are focusing so hard on being quiet that you bump right into like just in the hallway that that a person didn't see, they were looking the other way, into a very tall yellow cloaked figure.
Oh.
Very, I'm talking about like 9 feet tall.
Oh.
And this figure turns around to you in their skeletal hands. They're holding open a book, just like open, trying to look through it, and clearly there is no head. And you hear Fritter in the house. It's like, is someone there? Can you find my head? My body has lost it.
I will squawk very loudly. Like,
Is
yeah,
that a yes?
I'm gonna leave this to Kit Kat, and let's just consider Huggins as freaking out, like freaking out, man.
Why are you why are you freaking out? What do you have you don't believe that there's actually a person who has misplaced their head inside my home, do you? You look like you do believe that.
You
You
hear like
do.
a kind of cat's like growl, yowl, and
Oh,
like
pardon my tongue. Row, lost head.
and I like Looney Tunes style run out the front door and then like see Ichabod and Huggins standing there and just kind of like brush myself off, play it cool, just be like, someone's inside.
I figure I'm still in there. Like you just ran out, and
Oh.
I'm like, oh, thanks.
I thought you were back outside with Ichabod.
I'll look up at this intruder, just like a puffed up sphere of feathers, like just terrified, and be like, hello.
The body in front of you is like kind of, it closes the book and just wait, like has its arms in the air. You see like this yellow cloak, is like going all the way down its body. You wouldn't tell it was skeletal hands unless they had their arms out.
Gotcha.
And they're kind of like just gesturing and like, oh, pardon me, hit my mic. They're gesturing like in a shrug motion. And again, you hear Fritter in the house. It's hard to communicate this far away. The body is not that smart. Don't believe what people tell you. Your mind does know better.
I'm just gonna say, excuse me if this is rude, but if I promise to go find, get you your head, are you going to like murder me?
That's a very strange question. You must believe me.
Okay, and I'll like walk through the house looking for a head.
Yeah, how dare you, Huggins? You've
How dare me?
offended
You're like
the body.
out on the porch, like that
You can't just ask someone if they're gonna murder you.
just yelling from afar, refusing to come back in.
What did they answer?
Is there a search for head roll, or can I, like,
I
is your head particularly well hidden?
You're yelling.
I think it should be pretty easy to find because the voice
Okay.
is coming from it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
yeah. The head, it was left on the bookshelf, where they took the book from, and the body decided to walk away.
Wait, come back.
Darn bodies. Always be walking
Steph.
away. Me.
I'm gonna have you roll a reflex save.
Oh no, a save.
This
Come on.
place is pretty dangerous, I guess.
I got plus 13. I can do this. 24.
You and Ichabod narrowly escape a flying axe just flying through the air, and
Jesus.
it sticks into the ground. And in the distance, where you saw the horse the first time with the horseman, you see another horse with the horseman. But this time, it looks like the horseman is in charge of the horse and is reining the horse into the distance across that bridge that you crossed originally.
I was going to say, this time it's three chihuahuas in a coat.
It's all dog related villainy.
Yeah.
It's because I have six
Can I?
cats. I made the dogs evil. Yeah, so this happens outside as Huggins gets the head and brings it back to the body. Now I'm gonna ship it over to you. What do you do next? Crane is frantically sort of not crying, wail noising. Just on the ground, punching
I
the
would
ground with
recognize
his
a
hooker.
distressed I'd recognize a distressed squawk. No, I'm busy looking for this head.
I am going to say at this point you found the head and you've made your way back to the body, and that's when you hear the distress squawk. So I'm gonna ship it over to you. What does everyone want to do in this moment?
Think I want to bring Ichabod inside with us.
Ichabod sort of gets up and then ducks immediately and then kind of walks like crouched into the house.
I will look to the newcomer. Dusty, did you tell us your character's name in character?
In character, not yet, no.
Okay, I'll just look at the head and be like, is it rude to pick you up? It kind of sounds like something's going on with my friends.
Oh no, that would be very helpful. Please, just careful, a little heavier than you expect.
Gonna scoop up the head delicately.
Yeah, I mean, when you pick up the skull, you do see like nice how it has like topaz and gems inlaid all over the skull.
Oh, cool.
And it definitely is ways heavier than what you'd expect a skull to weigh. I don't know if your character has picked up a skull. That's assuming a lot, but
It's just another Tuesday. Yeah,
yeah.
it's like I'm carrying a bowling ball with me.
Basically.
And I will hurry out to try and see what this commotion is.
Yeah, as you as I guess you're going for the door, Kit Kat and Crane walk into the door, and Crane
Bump.
closes the door behind him very quickly, and says, "Okay, so head not person in my home is less scary than axe throwing head not person outside. So here I am with without any fear, prepared for whatever happens next."
I'll look to Ichabod and be like, so is this on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocking is this? Is this just normal in this town?
Two headless people, kind of shocking.
Thought he was giving me a 2 out of 10. Like,
Two headless people and one throwing an axe has never
oh, I'm such a fool. I will inspect
happened.
the headless person in here with us for pugs or small dogs of some kind. I get an 18.
I think the head in your hand is like seeing you trying to inspect the 8-foot-tall body. It's like, you know, I'm right here. If you have questions.
I'm just like unwilling to believe the situation I'm in. So like, how'd you, what's going on? What's going on here? I'll say.
Well, sometimes you get lost and walk into people's homes. That just happens.
Yeah, you
Sometimes you
know.
get more lost because you wanted to read a book and your body decided not to. I'm sorry, person who lives here. You have very interesting books.
Yes, large amount of books here. Your story makes sense, but I'm still uncomfortable. I'll let other people talk.
I'm looking outside now.
And he like leans his wings over him so that he's like peering through like a small little space between the wings.
I'm looking outside for pugs.
You, as you're looking outside, see no pugs in the street, and I'll let you make another fantastically crazy perception check because that's just how that works today. Go ahead.
I got a 24.
So across the street, you can see through the window the same marionette puppet girl looking through the window. And this time you see these like purple, like with like streaks of orange down the middle, like strings above them, sort of leading up to like above the window, so you can't see what's above it.
Okay, I was actually about to ask, because this is a very fantastical world you have. Is that a marionette person in like they're like Pinocchio, or a marionette person in like there's someone just outside of my view?
They're Like Pinocchio. Yeah,
Okay.
they're a puppet person.
Okay, cool.
In Pathfinder, they're called poppets.
Oh,
Poppets.
okay. I didn't know that was
But for our intents, I'm gonna call it a marionette. But yeah, you can see these like weird purple orangey strings kind of hovering above the person in the window, and the door to that house opens, and I'm gonna have you make a will save.
Oh, good. 15. That's a three, natural three.
Fortunately, you are just barely able to force yourself to look away as the door opens. There's this like haunting like feeling that you shouldn't look that
Ah!
comes over you that causes you to look away.
That causes me to squawk.
And then the door closes.
Everything causes you to squawk.
That's outside. That's what's going on outside. Rain has finally kind of taken his wings down and shambled towards the kitchen-ish area, and is getting something to drink. And he's drinking the drink and looking at the three of you, and drinking the drink and looking at the three of you, and then he just kind of bounces up on top of like one of the beams above you, and he's just sitting up there like, I'm going to stay up here and drink my drink while you figure out what's going on with
He
all this
squawks.
crazy nonsense. He says, I think once I get my bearings, perhaps we can investigate the like, see if there's tracks that lead to where the horse went, or maybe like anything like that. But you're all going to definitely have to lead the way, because I don't want to be an axe range again. And yeah, he kind of fluffs his feathers up and drinks the drink again. And what are we getting down to in
Unless the headless body will take the head from me, I'm still kind of absentmindedly carrying the head around. The charming talking newcomer.
I think like after maybe half a minute where you haven't handed him the head over, just a giant, not giant, but a huge skeletal hand reaches over and just plucks the head out of your hand and just finally. Sorry about all this. Name's Marigold. What's happening? There's a lot of bad vibes.
A book on the like one of the bookshelves falls off, and it says bad vibes on it, and Crane is looking down at the book. You mean like this bad vibes, or like real bad vibes, like we're in danger bad vibes, like chopped off heads with well, actually, maybe that's not nice, because your head can come off. My head can't come off, and I don't want it chopped off. That's why I'm up here. Sorry for
Yeah,
interrupting.
the amount of nobody lose your head I'm not saying right now.
What is someone just like throwing axes or something?
Actually, the axe is outside in the in the in the
Oh.
in the mud. I was just out there. The axe flew through the air. Kit Kat was able to duck, and so was I, which is incredible, because as a crane, my neck is rather long, so getting it low enough to not be cut was a feat, I assure you.
I was being egregious, but all right. They're gonna put the book that they've been holding down, which I think funny enough is maybe just called Good Vibes and How to Hone Them.
Oh my God.
And it's like, well, I shouldn't be in here anyway, so I guess I could just go look outside. So I would like to go outside.
You open the door and you're out
As they're
there.
walking past Kit Kat, she's really resisting the urge to poke the head in the same way she poked Ichabod. You see her like hand kind of go up, and with her other hand she pulls it down. I just want to know like how securely it's attached when it's on there. And
Well, actually, they're just holding the head. They haven't even put the head
oh,
on
okay.
their neck.
still
head.
wanting to touch it.
You get outside. There's the regular street that you are on, and there's an axe buried in the mud to the right of the door, and in the distance to the left, you can see what look like horse tracks, but can't really make them out from this distance. But if you're doing the math, it is about 80 feet away that the horses are from where the axe is.
I think Marigold like pick up the axe in like one arm, and kind of like not like throw it at y'all, but like kind of toss it as in the catch, and we'll say, "Well, it does look like they went yay about 80 feet that way. Do you intend to confront the? You keep saying headless. Were they actually headless, or were they just head adjacent?"
And adjacent.
From what I saw, they didn't have a head. Last time when it was Rom and his bully group, they had a pumpkin in their hand, but this one had both hands firmly on the reins of the horse and nothing above the shoulders.
Amateurs. Well, I mean, if they're causing trouble, you should probably confront them, right? I'm not here to tell y'all what to do, but I'm kind of bored.
Not the story I thought we'd be collecting tonight, Huggins.
Crane says, "I guess you're right. Maybe I should confront this axe wielding horse and without a head. But also maybe I should confront Brahm and his group as well. This is a lot of confrontation. Would it be possible for I'm going to run across the street to the Van Tassels and ask them for some tools to investigate and potentially fight if need be. Is everyone okay here? Or do you want to come with me?"
Do I believe him?
He does not appear to be lying. No.
Okay. I just want to make sure he's not going to run away.
He just skedaddles.
Yeah.
Just sprinting off into the distance. "Some stories are not meant to be told." No, but he makes his way across the street, and is anyone watching him?
Yeah, Kit Kat is.
Okay. He opens the door, and I'm going to have you make a will save.
Oh, 22.
He opens the door and starts walking inside the door, and something in your brain says he's in there, and you look away from the door, but you do get the feeling that it's like involuntary, like something registered to not look into the door, and the door closes, and Crane is inside the house over there.
Okay.
This is fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Guys, it's fine.
Everything's fine. All right.
I'm gonna be. I'm like looking at the looking the axe over and muttering about rapscallions while not paying attention, I guess.
The axe is a normal sort of axe, the wooden handle. The blade itself is, you know, looks to be some form of shiny metal.
I get it. It's an axe. The axe is axe-like. There's nothing special about it.
There's
I got you.
there's that
Let him finish.
and in the reflection of the light in the axe, you see a face. And
It's your own.
it flickers in and out. It looks like a frog head looking at you. And then it flickers out, and it's just the reflection of the light again. And Crane is halfway across the street with like these pouches and like a vest and like a bunch of random stuff. And he pulls out a magnifying glass and he heads over to where the horse tracks are. And as he's walking, he looks over to Marigold and says, "So are you up for this adventure? I guess you don't necessarily have to join us, but I think you could help us for sure. A person of your stature and size, and with the inability to be beheaded, could be very useful in a situation where people wish to behead."
Marigold lumbers over and extends the hand that has their head in it and just kind of looks them over, and by that I mean they're just moving their head around this person's just face and looking them up and down physically, and just, "Well, sure, it sounds like you lot are in deep fear of beheading. It's not as bad as you think. Eventually you get better, usually.
It gets better.
But I think you can do this, and this will only last for a little bit, but I give them guidance, just
Ooh.
the cantrip guidance."
Awesome. Yeah,
Thank you.
they're going to walk up and sort of look at these horse tracks, and they notice that the horse tracks head back towards the bridge, and coming down the road from near the bridge are the three pugs. Yeah, they're just like sort of marching down the road. They're like, "You're out late at night, Crane. Well, you know what? We're gonna have to do something about that." And one of them lobs a pumpkin at Crane, and we're going to we're gonna roll initiative and do some fighting, guys, because
Fighting.
it's fighting time.
We're just storytellers.
How could this happen to me? 28.
Yeah. Wait, where is initiative?
Top right.
Oh, I hadn't scrolled up enough. 21.
Guess I should roll initiative. Should I just roll it as a level 7 character, I assume?
Yeah, for initiative purposes, I think so.
Gotcha.
That
Oh,
is definitely the wrong word, but all right, cool.
this is unnecessary. Natural 20, so
Nice.
31.
Marigold giving off, "This is how it's done, kids," vibes.
All right. Everyone else roll.
Did you
Go on.
get our rolls, Andrew?
I did not. Sorry, my bad.
I
What
got
did
21.
21?
And I got a 28.
Jeez. I don't know that this will be surprising, but Marigold goes first.
Say what?
And yeah, so you are up. You have these three pugs kind of coming down the street. They lobbed a pumpkin. And from the look of it, they have weapons on them, except for one of them who doesn't seem to be armed in any sort of way, but immediately starts like chanting something. Yeah, that's what you see. They're probably, I would say, 60 feet from you.
Would it be possible for me to make a check to get stop that pumpkin in midair and throw it back at them telekinetically?
Absolutely.
Oh, nice.
What kind of check would you like me to make for that?
Oh, I guess reflex is cool, right? Reflex is cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do y'all do hero points here?
We do.
Okay, I'm gonna use a hero point. Much better. Reflex, that is a 22.
All right. Yeah, you're able to do that. I guess what does it look like as you sort of grab this pumpkin out of the air?
I think the pumpkin is flying at, is being thrown at Ichabod? Maybe within it's like it's on the end of its arc and it's about like maybe 5 feet away. It fully just stops in midair. And Marigold just like, pumpkins, what are that's so like 20 years ago, folks. And just the pumpkin then fully just like shoots itself right back at whoever threw it.
The pumpkin hits that person, that happens. And then you can take your turn. We'll count that as like a reaction of some sort.
Cool. Then I think Marigold will look behind them at Huggins. Am I saying that correctly? And just say, "Well, you may need this." And they're gonna like tap them on their forehead with a, like a long bony finger and cast heroism on you,
Boop.
which gives you plus one status bonus to attack, perception, saving throws, and skill checks.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
And look at Kit Kat and just like, you could probably use some help too, and then give them guidance, which is
Cat
just
kind
a
of like
plus
paws
one
at
for
the
next roll.
stick above her head for a minute.
And Marigold sees that, she's like, nope, I wouldn't recommend it. By the way, Huggins' heroism lasts 10 minutes,
Oh, cool.
and then guidance is just until the start of your next turn.
What is guidance?
Plus one, basically the same thing, but only for one action.
Okay.
All right. Next in the order is Huggins.
Okay, I feel all invigorated. I will. So you said there's like 60 feet away. Like I kind of just want to take a defensive position around Ichabod and like hold my action. Is that just a D&D thing? Like, does that work in Pathfinder?
Oh no, you can do that here too.
I mean, like, I'm really resisting the urge to activate the flying boots, but I don't know, this feels more like a defensive situation. So
So
if the pugs try and attack Ichabod, I want to strike at them.
okay. Sounds good. Next is the lead pug person, Brom. He looks over at his companion, now covered in pumpkin, and draws this really like strange like looking broadsword. It's sort of like if it was crumbling, right? Like if it was like turned to dust and crumbling. But it's only in certain sections like that have crumbled off, kind of. And it looks like if you like rubbed on it, it would like flake off, sort of like a crystal, you know, those like crystals, you can just flake off pieces of them if you rub them. It's sort of like that, but it's like dust color. And
Is it like magically degrading, like eternally, or is it just like, oh, this sword is very old and bad?
it looks like it has done the degrading already, but it doesn't look like it's like a old sword. It just looks like some sort of like dust has like corroded some of it.
Weird. Okay.
Pulls this thing out and then sprints over to Crane
Ah, have at thee, good sir.
he
Brigand.
only has enough only enough juice to get to Crane and isn't able to make an attack. And then
Do I still get to wallop him, or
unfortunately, no.
no?
When he makes an attack on Crane, then that triggers, yeah.
Okay.
But next in order is Kit Kat.
Me. All right, there's three pugs.
There is Brom directly in front of Crane and two pugs that are 60 feet away.
All right, can I magic missile all of them?
Yes. Yes,
Cool.
indeed. All right.
The magic missile machine gun.
Gonna do that. They each get a magic missile. And those are automatic hits, right?
I believe so. I don't remember spells.
I think so. At least they are
But I was
handy.
pretty sure.
It automatically hits, yeah. Dealing
Yeah.
1d1 or 1d4 plus 1 damage. All right. First one is getting. Where did it go? I thought I rolled it. Roll. 5 points of damage.
Okay. So,
I'm just gonna hit them in order of like how close they are to me.
okay. Perfect.
This first one is going to the one who's right by Ichabod. Next one is 4 points of damage. And the last one is 5 points of damage.
Right. Awesome. That's cool. Yeah. And then the next person is the pug on the left side, and they are going to move up to where Brom is, like right next to Brom, and they do some sort of weird, like shoulder bump thing to Brom, like get him, boss. And Brom then makes an attack on Crane, which
Ah, I don't
triggers
like that.
your action thing here.
Have at the scoundrel. Oh God, where's my? Oh, here it is. I kind of don't know. Like, I feel iffy. Just, day one in town, kill some locals. So I'm not getting the sword out of the cane, but I bonk him over the head with the cane. So I'm just trying to do non-lethal damage. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, just roll the attack and the damage, and I'll take into consideration your intent.
And I'll not kill
26 to
them.
hit, 6 damage.
Yeah, you whack Brom over the head, and then Brom is swinging at Crane with this weird sword thing,
What
and
kind of sword did you say it was again?
a broadsword, but it looks like it's like crumbling into dust, but not actively crumbling into dust.
Pug sized, or is he like Final Fantasying it with this giant sword?
Oh no, it fits him. It fits him. He,
Okay.
yeah. And yeah, he swings the broadsword, and it misses Crane as Crane kind of leans out of the way, and Crane's like, "No, absolutely not. You can't touch me with that. That's not cool." And Brahm says, I'm gonna get you, because I'm tired of all the stuff you've been doing in this town.
I'm tired of your bullshit, science man.
The other pug is gonna go now, and they move all the way up to where you all are, and they do some sort of like hand gesture stuff, and they look at Brom and they say, "You got it." And you see a like crackling lightning going along this like sword that Brom has now.
Oh, I love it.
And that's them. And we go back around to Marigold.
Question. I may have missed it. Are they all closer to us now?
Yes. They're like occupying the three spaces in front of Crane.
Okay. Let's see. I would like to just turn around again and look at Kit Kat and just poke them again. It's like, you should end this quickly and give them haste, which gives Kit Kat an extra action per round for only hitting or moving.
Use it to cast a spell.
No. Let's see. Yeah, only specifically strike and stride. So, like, if you want to smack or run.
All right.
And I think I would just like to hold my skull above all these people and just maybe try to demoralize. Just like, you're causing too much of a ruckus. Just, aren't you tired? Just go home.
Roll to scold.
Roll. Scold.
But it's super effective. It's coming from a like a 9 foot tall headless skeleton, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The two pugs beside Brom sort of lean and lean like behind Braum, but they're still like standing beside him, but they're like ducking behind Braum and like looking like you didn't say there would be a giant a person who has a skull for a head when you said we were gonna come mess with Crane. I don't feel comfortable with this. And the other one looks absolutely, that doesn't seem like that was covered in in our bases. I don't like they those two seem visibly shaken, but Brahm seems to be okay. And then next is Huggins. Huggins. Huggins.
I know exactly what Huggins does. I draw the random potion from Stanislav
Oh,
out of my
God.
jacket. And I want to specifically throw it at the pug that threw the pumpkin. How does one make us
The poor pug that threw the pumpkin.
Yeah. Throw a pumpkin at us, will you?
Okay.
Pumpkin throwing days are up. Who
knows?
you throw the potion and let me see.
Is there a role for a thrown weapon or something?
Because of your like proximity, you're like right next to them.
Oh
So like
shit. Okay. Oops. It gets all over me too.
I'm going to instead say that this is going to be successful, but I'm going to have everyone make a reflex save. And I did those for the three pugs already. So I'll wait for you guys and we'll see what happens.
Everyone?
Yeah, we're all right. He threw this random potion that could be a bomb, point blank range, directly at a person in front of him. So
Could be,
I didn't
isn't,
think they were.
is though.
Yeah, I didn't think they were all bombs.
I got a 26.
All
Whoa!
right. I got a
I'm a cat. I
19.
got good reflexes.
I promise I'm not cheating. Normally my rolls are really shitty. I got a 37.
Oh my God. What?
That's a I got a natural
I'm a cat.
20. I'll screenshot
Let's
it. I'll
go.
screenshot it and send it.
Oh no, it's cool. That's crazy though. You endanger everyone and then roll a nat 20. You're like, everyone's at risk, and
I fly
I'm
away.
not.
I activate my boots of flight and I just leave.
But no, the pug who threw the pumpkin covered in pumpkin and bewilderedly hiding behind Brom tries to catch the potion and it fumbles and it explodes in the air above. Like the glass breaks, the liquid pours down, and Brom and his pug friends sort of disappear, yeah, they're just gone, the four of you are standing there, and you have no visual on Brom until you hear a exceedingly annoyed voice screaming from down below you, and you see that they've been shrunk to like super tiny size.
Oh my God, Huggins, you're a genius.
And That's being very generous, but I'll take it.
yeah, they're shouting, and then they stop shouting and start running. They're sprinting towards the bridge.
At the sight of small mouse-like creatures running away, my tail twitches.
Oh no. Run faster, Brom. You've activated the kitten.
And we we yeah that's their turn. The first two's turn, and then the first one's turn, and then Kit Kat, you go. But Brahm is running rather right now. The other two are sort of still there, but they look like they're preparing to run. What does Kit Kat do now?
Ooh, how far are they from us?
They're not very far because they're so small. They
They're so tiny.
don't cover a lot of ground. They're about like caterpillar size, well, maybe a little bigger than a caterpillar.
All right. So I have haste. I get four actions as long as they're movement or attack.
Well,
Can
one
I make?
extra action as movement or attack.
Yeah, so
Oh.
I have how many actions do I have?
Four.
Four.
But one of them has to be movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I reach them?
Yeah, definitely can reach them.
Okay. Can I make a claw attack against each of them?
Yes, but you'll have to deal with the attack penalty thing.
What's
So
that?
you wow, we've never covered the attack penalty. That's crazy. All right. So your first attack you make with your bonus, and then every additional attack after that has a penalty, like a subtraction from it. And
Subtraction is the worst kind of
your
math.
claw is a it's an agile weapon, so it's is it minus? Oh dear. I don't remember what agile weapon penalty. It's different than if it's not an agile weapon. So I'm gonna look real quick. So your second attack would be minus four, and then your third attack would be minus eight.
Like to hit?
Yeah.
Well, that's rude. What if it's different if it's on, how do I know if it's an agile weapon?
They typically say they're agile weapon.
Is that under what the details part?
Yeah, I think but
All right.
your claws are definitely an agile weapon, but
Yeah.
if it's not an agile weapon, it's minus five and
Cool.
then minus 10.
Never mind. Agile's good. Agile's good.
Right.
So I can't, that's lame. Okay, so can I make a claw attack and like two more magic missiles?
Yeah, you
Okay.
can do that.
I would like to do that.
So roll the claw attack.
18 to hit.
That hits, yeah.
That's 3 points of damage. Three.
You knock one of them over onto the ground with this claw attack.
All right. I'm gonna magic missile the rest. Okay. And that's four damage. And for the next one, and five damage for the next one.
Yeah, you knock both of them, the other two over,
Can I
and
try
you
and
have
pick one up?
four tiny pugs kind of falling on the ground. You do have the extra action, so yeah.
Rom is the one who's being the meanest.
Yeah.
I would like to pick up Rom.
All right. I'm gonna say you just succeed because he's prone and tiny.
I'm just gonna hold on to
And I put him in my inventory.
You can hear like very squeaky, like low voice, shouting something, but you can't make out the words.
Right now,
Yeah, I'm just gonna like, yeah, just kind of dangle him by, I don't know, maybe like the back of his clothes and just say, "You haven't been very nice tonight."
You've
We should car.
successfully captured Brom, and you then hear the galloping, and the two pugs that were on the ground that you didn't pick up use their ability to get up and then use their full movement to move away, and they're running towards the bridge, but you hear the galloping coming from behind you in the town. Then you hear a familiar voice, the voice of Eslin. And this is a rare occurrence to hear Eslin out on a mission to help someone. Usually
Wigajawa.
it's like a no communication sort of scenario. Like, you're going to go help them with their story, and I'm not going to help you with that at all. But this time, you hear the voice, and Marigold, you hear the voice as if it's talking directly to you. And it says, "I don't think you're meant to be involved in this part of the story. I appreciate the work that you've done helping them on their path, but I'm not quite sure if it's fair for someone as legendary as you to assist them.
Legend.
And the array of gemstones glow, and a like field of light sort of forms around you. And sometimes story needs struggle. And you see the Headless Horseman trudging up in the distance. And because we are very close to time, that is where I'm going to end this session.
As in, like, I'm taking you off the case.
So let me say thank you to those of you who listened. That's Dicey again. I'm Andrew,
That,
and
oh,
Patrick.
I thought we were all doing our names.
Yeah, me
And
too.
Dusty, if you want to give the listeners one more go through, where they can find you, what you do, that type of stuff.
I've been Dusty. You can find me personally at Dust E Hill, most everywhere. You can also check out Goblets and Gaze, which is another Pathfinder 2E actual play. We finished our first show, Blood of Kings. All four seasons are out. Just look out, there's more stuff coming. Then you can also listen to An Unwavering Force if you like Pathfinder 2E, and also Star Wars. I'm the GM over there. It's an all by podcast telling a story right after the Clone Wars. We have a Trash Man, we have Edgy Twins, we have Force Witches, a very good dog, we have a pop star turned rebel spy. It's great.
More could you want?
Exactly. Check all those out. Unwavering Force is at Unwavering Force. That's been me. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for
Yeah,
playing,
thanks
Dice.
for
Nice
coming
to
on. All right. Well, that's been That's Dicey. Until next time.